Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of a raw dog food and company where your pet's health is our business. And we're friends like my friend, Dr. Andy. Well, we don't let friends feed kibble if we can help it. But you know, Dr. Andy, I don't know. There's just people that are just like, it's just that bacteria. So bad for the dogs. I'm like, what bacteria? You know, and how do you know? Right? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever in 20, I don't know how long you've been feeding raw. You've been feeding raw 20 years? How long?
Nah, probably a decade, 12 years, something like that.
Okay. That's long enough.
Yeah.
But you've been in business for a long time. You've been working with vets for a long time. You have a lot of customers who are feeding raw.
Yes.
I'm certain that at some point, you had somebody say, my dog got salmonellosis, or my dog had E. coli overgrowth, or my dog, you know, had this. And my question, because we're kind of looking at the research right now, my question is, have you ever had a strain, like where a vet would say, well, the strain of the sickness of salmonellosis and the bacteria load, and kind of parceled it all out and then was able to actually connect it to raw food? Have you ever had that?
No.
Why you laugh?
Well, I laugh because what vet's going to go through that?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, they're just they're not even going to do that. They're just going to, you said you fed raw. Oh, it must be the raw. That's it. That's all they do. They don't even have any world experience, facts, studies to even say that to you. But no, they're never going to do that.
It's, I think this must be like a wake up moment for pet parents if they would just ask that question, right? What strain did you find in, you know, like my dog's poop? But first, you would want to know if there was salmonella and E. coli in your dog's poop when they're fine. And I'd say yes.
Yes. I was going to say yes, but that's my point with all these fecals they do. I'm like, well, what's normal? What's not? What's always there? What's not never been there for your dog? Like, I don't honestly really wrap my brain around what's the point of a fecal. You have an imbalance. Give the body some time to fix that. Okay. Why are we running to the vet with nasty, gushy, poopy? Who cares?
And the thing about it is, I've asked this question before, like Clostridium seems to be one
Clostridium. Yeah.
Right. And that's always there, guys. But here's the thing. The longer the poop sits, the more it proliferates. Okay.
Yeah.
And
there's
then
so many variables that.
So I asked Amanda, our daughter, who's a vet, I said, what is a Clostridium overgrowth? Who and how do you determine that? And she said, it's a vet tech that is looking at it and determining that it's overgrowth. And I was like, hey, based on what do we, and then she said, and if the poop sits, depending on how long it's been sitting, but that doesn't necessarily mean that was the problem in your dog. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we have to be teaching, at least suggesting that you ask these questions. At least you do something that you don't need to do.
Well, and you said it, like Clostridium's always there. I don't even think pet owners realize that most of the issues that are coming up, let's say Giardia, Clostridium, this, you know, oh, the E. coli. I'm like, all of that is there all the time, folks. It's when it becomes out of balance. So what caused that? And nobody ever goes there, right?
Right.
It's always there, folks. Like, at least I've got to say with the Giardia, there's been less of handing out antibiotics for that and more handing out whatever probiotic the vet wants to do. So I am pretty happy with that. Like, that has changed over the years. For many years, it was, here's some antibiotics for Giardia. I'm like, well, A, it's not even a bacteria. And B, it's just an overgrowth at the moment. You're out of balance at the moment. Like, so I am pretty happy with that. But, you know, running, oh gosh, I had, what dog was this? We didn't even have diarrhea. And they put it on metronidazole. I'm like, don't you dare. Don't you dare go there. Oh, yeah. The dog, dad's a little observant. Over observant. He'll even admit this. And she was having issues. I don't know if I talked about it, pooping, meaning she would start the poop and it would take a little longer for any poop to come out. And then she had a second spot that she would poop. And this was abnormal for her. So he went to the vet. And my answer was, why did you go there? But at least he texted me after. And I go, don't you dare give her metronidazole for this issue. There is no reason to screw up that biome with that antibiotic when we just have like a weird pooping thing right now. What we decided was to stop all the supplements because she was on a lot. Stopped them all. The pooping thing stopped. Whatever that was, who knows what was causing it. He never did give the metronidazole. I was so proud of him. And now he, like, he's so funny. Now he's like, ah, I kind of throw in some supplements here and there. I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Good. We don't need to be on 9 of them every day forever. And, you know, and we do need to stop them and start them and pulse them and all that. But yeah. So yeah, these things are always there, folks. It's when they become out of balance.
Yeah. And for us too.
Yes.
For us too. I'm sure that some of you pet parents, you've noticed that your poops are a little harder sometimes. You're like, man, what have I been doing? Eating a lot of cheese? Or what are some other things that really cause constipation in people? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if alcohol does, or sugars, or whatever.
Sugar. Everybody's different.
Everybody is different. Every dog is different because your terrain is different.
Yes.
But one of the things that I'm very excited to have Dr. Mari on, who's out of New York, and she's on the people side. But one of the reason that I am going to have her on the podcast is because her knowledge about bacteria, right? And so much of the time she's like, germs, bacteria, you know, it's not a thing. Don't worry about it, right? It's like the body is just out of balance, right? It's not like, even talking about quote unquote pathogenic, right? Yeah. Oh, that's a pathogenic bacteria. And she's like, well, not really. And then she explains it and you're like, okay, but said dog got ill from this. And she's like, yeah, but here's this, and this, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it, and she does say, look, let's say that you as a human ate something, and people call it food poisoning all the time, right? Like E. coli or whatever. She goes like, yeah, well, you're going to do what the body does to get rid of it. You're going to vomit, or you're going to have diarrhea. Yeah. Then you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Because the body needs to eliminate it.
Yeah. And your body knows how to do these type of things. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting it's not just interesting, it's comforting. It takes the fear away from, oh my gosh, my dog's going to die. You know, I'm going to die. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there are instances where people are very, very ill. But again, you have to look at the history, Dr. Andy. I mean, you know, The one thing that pet parents don't like to talk about is their pharmaceutical history. They don't like to talk about the vaccine history. They don't like to talk about those sort of things because for some reason that doesn't connect. But in the people world, don't you think that in the last 3 years that people have started making those connections about things that have popped up if they've recently put, or even a year ago or 2 years ago, put things in their body that maybe they didn't need to put in there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why wouldn't that be the same for dogs?
Because somehow there's that disconnect that they are so, so, so different from us. And they're really not. They're really not. There's a few idiosyncrasies, right? You know, they can't eat chocolate, those kinds of things. But for the most part, their organs do the same things our organs do. They respond to things the way our bodies do. Like, there's so many crossover with meds and supplements that they can take. So they're not, they just cannot come up and, hey, mom, my back hurts. Hey, mom, don't feed me that food. It makes my tummy upset. They just don't use the words. They'll right. tell you in other ways. But yeah, they're really not that different. And so I've even had, I think maybe I even talked about it. I've had other chiropractors bring their dog in to see me. And I remember one in particular, and we were talking about the dog, and I looked at the, and they had spayed her at 7 months. They had done all the shots up to date. And I go, so what have you done with your child? They're like, oh, we didn't do any of that. And he only eats organic. And I just sat there quietly, and they kind of went, oh. They had not made the connection from their schooling to what they believe for themselves and their child to their dog. I think that's fascinating. The dog was eating kibble, fully up to date vaccinations, got spayed at 7 months, has struggled with a seizure disorder her entire life.
Oh, no.
You know, where did that come from? Who knows? But it's, and you literally watch that light bulb go on. You know, and it's just interesting. Why do we not take what we have learned about ourselves and transfer it to the animals?
You know,
one
of the things that I've learned in with the Bigglesons, and is that scars, any kind of surgeries,
yep.
will impede flow. Energetic flow and vitamins, nutrients, blood, all that kind of stuff in the body, right? Scar tissue, when that builds up. So when they look at people's blood and the holographic blood, that's the name of the book, right? It's an amazing book. They show these scars, that the scars come up. And there are things that you can do to help that scar tissue. There's a lot of different things that are out there. But, you know, I always wonder about the dogs and cats. Do mm-hmm. they? Yeah. But mostly, I think, is this something that is contributing to dis-ease in our pets, right?
Absolutely. I actually test for it. I don't talk to owners about it.
You test for it?
Yeah.
What does this mean? What does
I muscle
this mean?
Test. I muscle test for scars. If I know they're neutered or spayed, there's a technique called the injury recall technique that I'll rub over the scar and eliminate the trauma out of the body. I don't necessarily bring it up. I just kind of do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, oh. Okay. So there's, let's see, Lozzie. She's not spayed, and she did cut her leg at one time. And we had to have stitches, but that's it. That's all she's had. Did you find
remind
anything?
Me? No, I didn't. But remind me, and we'll go over it. I'll
yeah.
show you how to do it. It's
now,
easy
let me,
peasy.
Let me ask
but
you
they,
this.
They do impact the body, yes.
Yeah. Well, what? I mean, think about it. If your dog has had a spay or a neuter and a TPLO, right? Or an ACL tear or whatever you, or CCL, whatever. Or maybe they've docked their tail. Maybe they've cut their ears. Yeah. Maybe teeth have been taken out. This is a big thing with humans that I've learned is that the teeth are so important, right? The teeth are so important. Yeah. And so you got to wonder if you have a bunch of different surgeries that have happened and you're feeding kibble and you're doing flea and tick and you're doing heartworm and you're totally up to date on every vaccine in the world. That would be an amazing body that can overcome all of that. I mean, you see how amazing the body really is, right? Yes. The life force of your pets, the life force of us, when we do everything we can to just cut it off at the knees, you know?
Pretty so much. Speak,
right? I want to ask you this other question, because this is something that I see in my own pets. But when a dog is raw fed from birth to death, and we don't do any, you know, we keep all the toxins out, do you find that they don't have the kind of lipomas that the other dogs do?
They have less, absolutely. Yeah, if any, really.
Right, if any.
And because one of the theories is that's where the body is storing toxins. Now, I do think some breeds are more prone to them, like Labradors. And Riggy, my Doberman, has a couple. And so one of the other theories is maybe trauma. And he did have a foreign body removal. And one of his lipomas is sitting right on the outside of him, but right under the stomach. Right? So...
He had a foreign body removed. You mean like he went into the vet? I mean,
yes, he was handed a corn cob that he promptly swallowed.
And you've got to wonder how he could even breathe doing that, right?
Oh, he was such a good boy. He grabbed it. And it was one of those dumb human moments. I don't know why he was handed this. He didn't grab it. He didn't go in the trash. He was handed. So he was like, oh, yeah. And he runs to his spot. And I am chasing him through the house as fast as I can. I get to him and he goes, boom.
Oh, my gosh.
I think every pet, you know, how many pet parents have had that moment, right? Where they went, boom. And I'm like, ugh. So they are not digestible. He was vomiting blood in the morning. And so we did end up at the ER, and they did have to do surgery. And I love this ER that we went to. They did their job. They didn't ask me any questions. We didn't discuss his vaccination schedule or his diet. They just took the corn cob out of him like that was their job.
Right. And, that is their job.
And he did well with it. But that was my foray into the foreign body removal surgery.
And so now he has a little lipoma there.
Yeah, on the outside, right? Kind of under his stomach. Yeah.
Wow, so. that's super interesting.
And then I don't have anybody else that has any. And Mo didn't have any. Yeah.
So it's funny, you know, we don't see all the animals, right, that come and come over to raw dog food and get on raw. But from some of the things that pet parents have said, I had one sweet pet parent here recently, was very confused because their dog's liver enzymes were up, I guess. I mean, the bun was up, the creatine was up and everything. But the dog had all the vaccines, the flea and tick, the fortiflora. There was a lot of stuff. And she said, I'm going to go on this prescription food because my dog's for his kidneys. And I was like, probably not the most digestible and not the healthiest for your dog's kidneys. But that was her decision. But there was a statement in there that her dog had all these lipomas. And so you have to look at that and say, why would a dog have those, right? Either it's a combination of toxins, bad food, or one or the other, right? Because they probably, like you say, would not be there. I've not seen that on my raw fed dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't see it. And I most of the folks that, you know, are in our circle, they don't see it either. You know, unless it was a dog that for the first 6 years of their life, right? And then the pet parent discovered, you know, healthy, what healthy.
Or they rescued an older dog and then changed everything. I mean, there's only so, you know, there you have this mountain to climb at that point. You're only going to get so far, right?
Right, right.
So yeah, there's history there that could compromise things. But yeah, now that you bring that up, I'm like, that's the only one we got going on. And that's interesting that I haven't even, I just made that connection talking to you about, well, the one that's right under where he had surgery. And I mean, he's got an 8-inch scar. I mean, they had to cut into his stomach.
So I was, somebody the other day in the academy had this, it almost looked like that Terra one. Remember the Terra one that you used to have?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we use it all the time. Mm-hmm. But it was another type of wand that had sound frequency, and he was using it for scar tissue, to break up scar tissue. Have you experienced anything like that?
I haven't. There's so much on the market, and I think that it all has some value, honestly. I just haven't come across that.
Yeah.
But why not?
Right? I didn't know that you tested for that because you kept that a secret, but that's very, very cool.
I mean, I have so much to explain to people as it is, and they all are looking at me like I have three heads most first visits. That, you know, we weren't going to go into that. And then some clients after a while, you know, I do or don't or whatever. And there's a lot of stuff that I do just, I'm not even aware of what my hands are taking care of sometimes.
Isn't that amazing? And so a lot of people think that what you do is just on a, like the how do I say this? The muscles or the spine
plane.
Right. Yeah. They don't realize that you're working on the, can I say, energetic level?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah. And I'll even run some cranial sacral balancing. We'll run some energy, but yeah, there's times when dogs come in. And the only thing I just do what I do and entire personality changes because it was all locked up trauma, emotional trauma. It wasn't even, they weren't limping. They weren't doing this. And somehow they ended up on my table. And those are a lot of fun. Those are a lot of fun.
I really, maybe in the next podcast, we can delve into that because that's very in line with what true osteopaths do for humans, right? And they're working on this energetic level, which I think is a little bit difficult for people to realize it, that that's there. What was it? I mean, and maybe you don't even remember, that said to you, absolutely, there's an energetic level. Because of this, this, and this. I mean, how do you wrap your arms around that? How do you know it's there? How do you feel it? How do you?
Those are big questions, Steve.
Well, and not even just you, Dr. Andy. I mean, just people in general.
Right. And a lot of us that work in that realm, it's very hard to answer those for people, right? But yeah, and then it kind of comes down to what the pet parents believe. I just had a little terrier in here. She's been down and out for months. And dad's like, well, they told me I could go to acupuncture or chiropractic. I picked chiropractic because at least I could see you do something. He even classified acupuncture as woo-woo. And I'm like, that is thousands of years old, and you know, but okay, you know, whatever. And he's like, a couple days later, I got a text back. He's like, I got my dog back. Like, she's interacting with us again. She's asking for food again. She's not just laying on her bed being miserable. So awesome, right? But yeah, what is the pet parent comfortable with? And some are not comfortable with adjustments, you know? They think I'm going to, like, break something. And they go to the acupuncture route or a massage route, and that's fine too. But yeah, that's why
I say do all three. Do them all. Do all three.
Right. And he did. He's like, should I do acupuncture too? I'm like, and what I usually tell people, I'm like, absolutely. It probably depends most on your pocketbook and your time.
That's right. That's right.
But yes, if you have an acute issue, throw everything at it. And when we know exactly what changed, no, but who cares if your dog's better? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I'm really fascinated with this energetic level and releasing the emotions, because I don't even think we know how to do that as humans, right? And certainly we've talked about before that our dogs take on our emotions. So if we understood more about how to release our emotions, right? Mm-hmm. Then we could probably help our dogs. So maybe in a next podcast or so, maybe we could talk a little bit more about that. Would that be good?
Absolutely. Yeah. It is one of my favorite topics. It's just, you got to pick and choose who you're going to have that conversation with.
Right. Because it's sort of like what I've said before. You can't take somebody from A to Z in 15 minutes, right?
No.
And that's why if pet parents aren't on the holistic route, it's hard to, you know, explain the virus thing and all mm-hmm. of all of the, you know, the toxins and stuff, because that's so foreign to them, right? Yeah. And they do have to be open to that. And if it's not their time to be open, then you do the best you can and you present them with at least good food, right?
Right. And yeah, they can get that. Right.
And even so then, that could be frightening.
Yes, absolutely. And I always say you gets it when you gets it.
Yeah. But try to get it soon.
Yeah. And at least sit there with an open mind. And sometimes I have to hear things five times before I'm like, oh, all right, cool. You know, but at least I'm sitting there listening again.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right, everybody, get over to Dr. Andy's new site. It's called Everwell. Just like it sounds. Everwell Pets. And yes. If you
that's where the blog is these days. So
okay.
They can find all the articles that we've talked about on other podcasts, and they can join our tribe if they want more information, and more is definitely coming, folks.
Awesome. All right, everybody, get over there. You can also work with Dr. Andy. If you're here in the Colorado area, I highly suggest that you get an adjustment on the energetic and the physical level with Dr. Andy. And you can find that animalmagiccare.com as well. All right, everybody, get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Brian is there to help you. Listen, we have the new feeders webinar every second Tuesday of the month until the end of the year. I will get that on the webinar page. Yeah. It's not up. Hopefully I'll get it up today. All those links that you can sign up. So that's free. Your consult, book a 20-minute consult with Brian. Super easy. Go in the chat. Take the quiz. There's no reason. There's no reason that this isn't an easy process for you. Okay. We're going to make it easy for you because we want your dogs to be happy, healthy, and be on this earth with you for as long as possible. All right, everybody, get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Andy?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.